Hello, this is History in the Making, the very first Modestly Speaking with your host, Michael Modest. You know, when Tommy first called me about this idea, at first I thought, shit, what do I really have to add to the wrestling business? I am actually pretty modest in reality, and, don't believe that what I have to say is even worth listening to, and it constantly amazes me that people are interested in what I have to say. But first of all, I wanted to thank Tommy because I did listen to the show, and I heard Hugh Morris, and I listened to George Steele, and I really enjoyed it. And after I heard, Hugh basically blast that nobody for treating Jake so badly, I thought to myself, I was pissed off about that too, and maybe I do have something to add to this business. Maybe I do have something to say. And that's the very first thing I wanted to say. A lot of times, people, they bring in these old timers, they bring in the older wrestlers, guys who are past their prime, guys who succeeded to a point, and then for one reason or another, be it divorce, be it drugs, be it, whatever their deal is, for one reason or another, their career went south, or maybe it was just the luck of the draw. In my case, I had a couple of good opportunities with WCW, and every time it happened, the first time, I was brought in by Kevin Sullivan, and Bischoff and Russo came back, and I was let go. And then I was brought back in by Bischoff and Russo, and only to be let go by WWE after they purchased the company. And both times, I was told they were going to put the cruiserweight belt on me. And it just didn't work out, but it doesn't mean that I'm not a good wrestler. It doesn't mean that I don't know my shit in the ring, and it doesn't mean that I don't deserve to be treated like a human being. And, I just wanted to tell the guy, I'm not even going to plug him by name. If you're interested in knowing this nobody, then you can search for it on the internet or whatever. But I'm not even going to plug this guy's name. But, you treated Jake so bad that I just thought to myself, man, I'd love to work that fucking guy and just wring his freaking neck. I mean, just blow you up and really, really tie you into fucking knots. Jake, I'm going to tell you something about Jake, okay? I don't know the man really well. He's not my personal friend. But I can tell you this. When I was 19 years old and I was in the WWE locker room, I was amazed at some of the boys that came up and introduced themselves to me and shook my hand and made me feel good being in that locker room. One of them was Hulk Hogan. Amazed me. I'm in the locker room, and here's a guy that, he's the champ. He doesn't have to walk up to some fucking fat, sloppy kid with long two-toned hair. And I already had a receding hairline at the time. I mean, I was hardly WWE material, even back then. And Hogan took a moment out of his day to just come over, introduce himself, shake my hand, and I really appreciated that. Jake Roberts also did the same thing. Excuse me, I run a class show here. I'm drinking coffee, and it's being filmed or being taped in a garage here in Livermore. So, it's top notch. But, Jake walked up to me, and he shook my hand. He let me in on this rib that he played on a guy named Larry Luden. Larry was trained by Billy Anderson out of Los Angeles, and Larry had a real phobia about snakes. So of course Billy, finagled it to where he'd be working Jake that night. And Jake came up to me and he sat down next to me and he patted me on the back and he said, "Hey brother," and he was just talking to me and just being a real human being, being a real nice guy, doing a good turn for a young kid just trying to get into this business. And so anyways, the rib was basically when the guy came over, Jake says, "Oh, hey, I don't even worry about the snake. Vince said I don't have to use it because it's been biting people and it's been acting really, really flaky, so don't worry about it." And then later Jake comes up to the guy and says, Vince changed his mind. He says, "I do have to use the snake, but don't worry, I'll keep a close eye on it," whatever. And when Jake gave the guy the DDT and he pulls out the snake, he actually put the snake down the guy's trunks, and it was freaking hilarious, and it made me feel really good to kind of be in on this harmless rib that was not mean-spirited, And I don't know, man, Jake, you know, like I said, I don't know him, and I'm sure a lot of people could tell you horror stories about the guy, but nevertheless, you know, he's still an elder. He's still somebody that paved the way. He's still somebody that I grew up watching. And I just think that just as a human being thing, you know, he deserved a little more respect than that. And you guys knew what the fuck was going on when you sent him out there. You know, you're talking about you had to wake him up. Well, what the fuck? You wake him up and then you still send him out there? You know, you guys are responsible for. I mean, what if he goes out there and he gets hurt? You know, how does that make you guys feel? You know, he had no business being out there. You guys should have let him sleep it off and eat the fucking plane ticket. You know the risk you take when you book him, and that should have been the end of it. And you still should have been nice to the guy and sent them on his way. You know, you go out. Another story I heard was, you know, I hear a lot of, you know, bullshit about, oh, you know, Jake told me to go get him crack, you know, this and that, or he wouldn't work the show. Well, you know what? That's your own personal decision, but, you know, you go out and you get a guy fucking crack to work a show, yeah, he's probably not going to perform up to par. So, you know, that's the kind of shit you have to deal with when you're a promoter. Be a fucking man. Tell them, no, we're not getting you crack. You can do whatever the fuck you want after the show, but no, we're not doing that. You want your payday or not. You know, so it just kills me, that whole situation. And that's what fired me up to do this whole show, and I want to thank Tommy. Yeah, obviously, you know, I'm planning on this thing going like 5 or 10 minutes, and I've probably already gone 5 or 10 minutes. Taking another sip of coffee. Hold on a moment. All right. Let's see what else we got here. I actually wrote myself notes so that I would stay somewhat on topic. I have a real bad tendency for just kind of rambling on and on. I've been working the indies lately, and man, I've had so much fun. I really did get burnt out on the road in Japan 5 years in a row, living half my life over there out of a suitcase and half my life at home. Was really tough, and not so much just the being on the road. It was also being in a totally different culture, and you know, I had 2 young kids. I still do, a 5-year-old, and Jack's about to be 4 on October 13th. So I'm excited about that. But I missed a lot, and I was always in a situation to where if something happened to my wife or kids, it would take me days to get home. You know, a couple of days by the time they book the flight and get me on a flight. And that's not a great feeling. You know, I always used to fantasize that, man, it would be better being in the States, but you know how that goes. The grass is always greener. I know the guys that work for WWE, they work their asses off, and they deserve any money, any success that they get from that company. They really deserve it. Guys like John Cena, John, you're a workhorse, bro, and it's awesome, and it pays off. And you've seen it with his success, his career. You know, so let's see. Been working the indies, and I've been having a good time with that. It's really actually good. It brings me back to when I first got in the business, and I was working those small, intimate venues. Some of them are more intimate, you know, than I'd like. I worked a show for a company named WCWA. And by the end of the show, I knew every fan that was there by first and last name. I also knew about their kids and what they were doing for the upcoming holiday. So it was, you know, very, very intimate crowd. Let's see, I've been trying to watch wrestling. You know, I thought to myself, you know, maybe I should touch on some wrestling subjects. And I turned on TNA, and God bless you guys. I love all of you. All the boys out there with TNA, you guys are doing a great job. You guys are working your asses off, and TNA, the company, Jeff, and everybody involved, I know you guys are busting your asses, and you're trying to do the very, very best. But I gotta tell you, man, I think you guys are just really missing the fucking point. I record all the wrestling programs I watch, and WWE, I've been enjoying the wrestling more. I see some great wrestling there, you know. But again, there's a lot of talk, a lot of vignettes or vignettes, as Roland used to call them. But I enjoy the wrestling. TNA, I just watched their program, and I had to fast forward through a quarter of the program before I hit my first match. I'm not shitting you, a quarter of the way through the program. Everything up to that point was talk, 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 add, 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 which I understand that's a point of, you know, that's the whole point of the thing, but why not run something underneath the match, like a ticker tape, or, you know, even split screen it so that you've got the an actual wrestling match being viewed up top and you're still running your ads, you're still running your commercials or whatever. But good God, guys, you have to actually put wrestling in a wrestling program. It's just necessary. You know, if I go and watch a horror movie and it's an hour long of ads for their next movie, for instance, I go see Rob Zombie, his Halloween movie, and half of the film is just ads for the next Rob Zombie Halloween film. And I got to tell you, I'm probably not going to watch the next fucking Rob Zombie film. I know the idea is to, do the pay-per-views, but man, go back to that old formula, you know, get some enhancement talent in there with some of your superstars. Don't make your show the pay-per-view that everybody wants to see. You know, run some easy basic matches in there, that don't have to be, 2 minutes, of complete action. It's like, it's almost like they talk, you talk so much and then you try to switch it to action. And it's just bad TV, man. I watch it, and it's really hard for me to stomach. I have to fast forward. You're going to give me carpal tunnel, and I may sue. It's brutal. So I've had a hard time watching wrestling. When I did watch it, recently, I watched TNA. The first match that I hit was these Rocker guys versus Blueprint and Abyss. And Blueprint and Abyss, they did look awesome. I enjoyed the match as far as the spots. I thought, there's some creativity and the finish, the finishing moves, which every one they do is could be a finisher. Were tremendous. But the Rocker guys, they were punching them on the outside of the ring like 1,000 times each time. It was just like punch, hit, 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 hit. And it was just brutal to watch. I'm going to get off of that because, I hate talking shit about the boys and I hate talking shit about companies because they're working, I'm not. And, so I should keep my fucking mouth shut and stay humble. By the way, I this is off the subject, but I just love Iron Sheik's show. I Make You Humble. It's fucking great. You got to check that out. If you enjoy listening to my mindless dribble, then you will definitely enjoy listening to Sheiky's mindless dribble. It's great. Let's see. On my notes here, I wrote, "Where are we filming?" And, like, I have no idea what the hell that was meant for. So I'm just going to pass that. Let me move on to the plugs. First of all, I want to plug a guy that I trained back in APW and wrestled with in NOAH for 5 years, Bison Smith. Everybody's missing the boat on this guy, and I think the reason why is everybody wants to sign him to developmentals. He doesn't need a developmental contract. I trained his ass. He's very, very good. He's very, very solid. He's got a good head on his shoulders. He's a huge monster. He's like 280 pounds with a mohawk. Played for the University of Colorado football. He's amazing. He's huge, and he's limber. If you are a fan of wrestling and you have not seen a match with Bison Smith, then I suggest that's got to be first on your list. Get some old NOAH footage, get some Puerto Rico footage. The guy's making a full-time living working between Puerto Rico and Japan. That's my first plug. Let's see, my second plug. I'm wrestling for SPW up in Sacramento on October 24th. If you want to check that out, you can hit up Sir Samurai on MySpace. He's a friend of mine on MySpace. Big Time Wrestling. I'm at the Newark Pavilion on October 26th in Newark. And that's with Big Time Wrestling. They are also a friend of mine on MySpace. Who's slamming who? Every Monday, of course. You got to tune into that. Let's see, plug number four, inyourheadonline.com. I just did an interview with them. It was a good interview. That's www. www.inyourheadonline.com. The interview was great. I followed it up with the most atrocious interview. You know, the thing is, man, if you're a Mark and you hit me up on MySpace and you just want to play big-time interview guy, that's totally cool. I don't mind just talking to some jabrones that just want to bullshit. That's all good. You know, but make it real clear that that's what you are, man. Do not try to put yourself over as something and then come across as completely amateur. I'm not going to mention any names because the guys, in the end, I think they were genuine, and I really do believe they are trying their best, and they'll probably have a great career in this business, so I don't want to blast them and, you know, get heat. Shit, when I'm 70, I might be asking them for a job doing something, so I better watch myself. But, good God, the interview was horrible, so please, you know, if anybody wants to interview me or talk to me, just be straight. Please don't try to put yourself over. And I wanted to thank the guys from In Your Head, man. That was just a great interview, guys. I had a lot of fun. It was like sitting down with, you know, three of my best friends and just bullshitting. And the call-in feature was great. I really enjoyed talking to fans and fielding their the questions. It was fun. Let's see. World Championship Wrestling Connection, or WCWC, November 1st in Oregon at the Regional Sports Center. I'll be there. And on November 2nd, I'm also conducting a wrestling class at the WCWC Dojo. I wanted to read a blog that I wrote, actually, about my experience working for WCWC. And the thing is, you know, we didn't have a huge crowd, man, up there in Oregon at the Regional Sports Center, especially since it was such a nice facility. And, you know, it was a large facility. So you pack 100 people into a facility like that, it looks like you got a little room. However, I will say this. The fans were awesome. Just absolutely awesome. The people there in Springfield, Oregon, were just incredible fans. We did a meet and greet thing at the pizza parlor, and I actually think we might have outdrawn at the meet and greet. There was probably more people at the pizza parlor than there was at the show. I really had a good experience there, and I wanted to touch on that a little bit with this blog. Let's see. If you don't want to listen to this, please hang your phone up now I know we're not talking. I'm talking on the phone. I got it, wise guy. Anyways, you can just click off your computer because this is probably where my show is going to get really boring. But here goes my blog. I just got back from Oregon. Flew out of San Francisco Airport, which was under security level orange condition. I landed in Portland about 9 a.m. Stepping off the plane, I was horrified to hear that Portland, as well as San Francisco, were both under security threat DEFCON condition orange. When I heard the first alert in San Francisco, I asked the security guard what in the hell security threat DEFCON orange meant. The security guard, who was an elderly man, had no idea what it meant and said he thinks they just change it periodically. When I heard the same alert in Oregon, I figured there had to be something to it. You know, I was thinking maybe one of the Twin Towers, you know, type things happened again. You know, maybe they bombed another building. I mean, there had to be a reason we were at security orange. So I asked the Portland security what it meant. They said they were clueless as to what it meant as well. What the fuck? If security at our airports doesn't know what security DEFCON alert orange means, then why in the hell do they announce it all over the airport? Who in the fuck are they alerting if not for their own security? Well, I continued through the airport, as dangerous as it was, praying that they wouldn't have a need to raise the alert to security threat DEFCON Charlie Alpha Bravo Maroon. I don't think I could have handled it. Exiting security, I was greeted by a young man holding a sign and wearing what appeared to be a permanent smile. The sign he was holding had my name on and pic on it, so I knew at once this must be my ride, Smiling Dave Jackson. Dave is one of WCWC's new referees, Aaron Dude, an all-around nice guy. And yes, he is always smiling. Dave and I drove to the house of WCWC owner, promoter Mark Manning. There we were met by Mark and a few of the younger wrestlers who would be setting up the ring and riding down to the show in the ring truck. Everyone was respectful, polite, and seemed happy to be there. I drove with Mark and a few of the guys to pick up Derek Nykerk at the airport. Oh, shit. I just escaped the airport and all their DEFCON warnings. Why in the name of all that is holy would we be going back to such a dangerous place? Airports are dangerous. Palm sweaty, I entered the airport with my new friends from WCWC. Now, this was the Eugene Airport, not Portland, where I flew into. I just knew my luck was going to run out. Something terrible. DEFCON Pink, maybe? Or the aforementioned Maroon? What the fuck? No warnings at all. It seems that while San Francisco and Portland were in serious risk of terrorist activity, the Eugene Airport was safe. This was great news. Derek arrived and we left without incident. I love the Eugene Airport. We got to the building where I was able to kick it with Derek and catch up. I hadn't seen Derek in many years. We have a mutual friend in Mike Knox, and I found that we had plenty to talk about. I saw another friend of mine named Eric Baden. Eric had worked with Pro Wrestling Iron when we were running in California. I also sat and visited with play-by-play announcer Joe Souza, another old friend. The entire locker room had a good vibe, and I felt thankful to be there. I wrestled a guy named George Michael, not of Wham fame. George had been wrestling for many years, and it showed. We had a great match. Would you believe the crowd enjoyed it, too? I didn't even do my famed Triple Lindy. Neither of us did a dragon, lion, or bear salt. And there were no chairs being thrown about. No sexy porn stars pulling off their tops. No chains, whips, or sledgehammers either. We just wrestled and worked. Wrestling still gets over. Before the show, Mark Manning took us to Hometown Buffet for lunch. After the show, we drove to Trax Pizza in Eugene. There was a meet and greet and an in-fucking-credible pizza. The fans were awesome and the beer was delish. Mark brought Derek and I to our hotel and Derek and I just bullshitted the rest of the night away. Mark came back. Hold on 1 second. I got a call coming through. Very important. I'm going to put that on hold. Sorry about that. You know, it's a live recording. Let me see, where was I? On the way to the airport, I started feeling very sleepy. As I was fading out, I remembered thinking to myself how fortunate I was, how incredibly lucky I am to be doing what I love with people who are gracious and as passionate about this business as I am. I have found friends in WCWC, thanks to Mark and everyone at WCWC. I had to read that because, really, man, lately I've been going through a divorce, and the business has been one of those friends that has just stayed with me, and I've met so many good people. In fact, I'm living with a guy now in Livermore, Frank Murdoch, that has been a friend of mine for 20-plus years in this business. I'm dating myself, and it hasn't been quite that freaking long. I'm just rounding up. But Frank Murdoch is really a very dear friend, and when I was hurting, you know, he gave me a safe place to kind of get over what was happening in my life, and the business remained a constant friend, and I feel very, very fortunate with the people that I've met in this business, and that probably will bring me on to my next subject. Let me go ahead and keep going with plugs. I've actually got a lot of shit going on. Let's see, Pro Wrestling Revolution. Man, I'm excited to be working for this company. It's an indie company out here in California, Northern California. They almost go as far as Los Angeles with some of their shows, but they've been staying out of Southern California, avoiding going all the way down to L.A., but these guys have just been pulling in huge numbers, numbers that I think even TNA and WWE would be impressed with. And I'm really excited. I'm going to be working for them on November 8th at Mount Pleasant High School in San Jose. I'm really looking forward to it. It's pro wrestling with kind of a lucha vibe. And it's run by a guy named Gabe Ramirez, who has been a friend of mine for many years. I met Gabe first at APW. He started at APW, man. I wanted to be a wrestler. That wasn't working for him. You know, he got involved in the office end of it and started as just a errand boy and worked his way up in APW to basically Roland's right-hand man, along with Jason Dedrich. And when Donovan and I took off, the wrestling portion of APW took off, they stayed behind and ran that company very successfully from the business end of it. And I'm excited to be working with Gabe. It's very, very cool to see somebody that I've had so much influence on succeeding in this business where many, many have failed. The promoting end of it has just got to be the most difficult part. I know because when Donovan and I ran Pro Wrestling Iron, I was very lackadaisical with the company. I tried as much as I could. I was already dealing with a failing, ailing marriage and new babies and things like that. So I wasn't on hands as much with Pro Wrestling Iron. I take full blame for that. But Donovan, I you know, would keep constant contact with me, and I would just see the shit he was going through and that Frank Murdoch was going through. And it is the most difficult part of this business, and Gabe's doing something that I don't feel I could do, and so I'm very proud of him. I'm really excited about that. Also, on January 24th, I will be wrestling at the new Opera House in Oakland, California, and that's going to be really cool. It's another Lucha Libre-type show. There's also going to be live rock music. And drinks will be made available to patrons. And it's going to be Lucha Libre wrestling, but it's all going to be monsters. Yeah, monsters. And I'm going to be wrestling in that. I'm hoping to be Pinhead. That's what, you know, I've got the perfect head for it. So I'm excited about that. That's going to be very cool. Jason Voorhees will be on the card. Michael Myers will be on the card. Chucky will be on the card. So far, they haven't gotten any of the old-timers. None of the classic monsters have signed for this event. I hear they are in negotiations with Dracula, Frankenstein, Wolfman, and the Mummy. So I'm really excited about this, man. It's going to be very, very fun. It's going to be a real cool party-type vibe. A very different kind of wrestling event. I'm really looking forward to it. Let's see, next page. I worked the Aaron O'Grady Memorial Cup. Now, see, damn it, I'm going too long with this show. I just knew this was going to freaking happen. And what I should have done was I should have, like, I have enough in here to do, like, five shows. So I should have cut this up, but I, you know, I'm just going to keep rolling. I got 60 minutes, so I might as well just keep freaking talking, especially if you're still listening. I mean, if you're still listening, I must be saying something somewhat interesting. The Crash Memorial Cup I worked for this company called WCWA out here in California. They're based out of Antioch, California. The promoter's name is Brent, and really cool guy. Very, very cool guy. I worked, the deal was he did it as the Aaron O'Grady Memorial Cup. And it wasn't really billed as a fundraiser per se or anything like that. And that's why he used the name Aaron O'Grady. I mean, I think there's like 10 people out here in California that remember Crash as Aaron O'Grady. And I think only like 4 of those 10 people are still wrestling fans. The other 6 have stopped watching wrestling altogether. But that's how he promoted it. The show wasn't very successful. And I think that almost makes me respect the guy even more because he is sending Crash's daughter, Patty, payoff. And that was the agreement I worked with him. I worked the show pretty cheap. And I worked it to where I got a payday and Patty got a payday. And so that worked out, man, and this guy actually is really sending her the money. And which is also nice. Again, my phone ringing off the hook. Mr. Popularity, Mike Modest. Very, very busy, folks. Sorry about that. So anyways, that, I just wanted to tip my hat to WCWA and say thank you very much. I've wrestled other Crash tournaments that were actually billed as benefits for Crash, and they completely stiffed Patty. Now that's the ultimate heel screw job turn right there, man. When you stiff a guy's daughter, a guy that was in the business, worked so hard in this business, passed away, and you run a show in his name, and you people know who I'm talking about. You know very well who I'm talking about. There's even one of them that I still talk to, and he's still a friend of mine, believe it or not, and he always does like the round robin thing where Donovan tells me, nope, he never paid Patty, and Patty and Shannon tell me, nope, he never paid us. But then I talk to him, and he says, oh, weird, I did send a check. And, you know, he just kind of drops it at that. But, man, it's brutal. You know, you stiff a guy's daughter. So, please, if you're going to run a show in Crash's name or any of the boys' name, man, that's the most important fucking payoff. Make sure you pay off their family. Let's see. Next. I had an idea for a top 10. I get a lot of questions from guys wanting to be in this business. They want to start in the business, and they ask me for advice. I always wonder, why in the fuck are you asking me for advice? I mean, I was mildly successful in this business, and I achieved all the goals I set for myself. But I'm certainly no Stone Cold Steve Austin. You know, but people do. They ask me for advice. So I set out to do a top 10. This will be the first top 10 in history. Okay, this is groundbreaking stuff here, folks. This will be the first top 10 that starts out with number 11 and ends with number negative 10. Okay, this is incredible stuff. Very cutting edge, all right? Let's see, number 11, you can't work a worker. Wait a minute. Let me start off by prefacing this. I gotta add. This is only advice. If you've been working longer than 5 years, you probably already know this stuff. So the show is basically over for you at this point. But if you're just getting into the business and you're just starting off training, or you've had one or two pro matches, this is for you. This is the advice I would normally give. Number 11. You can't work a worker. Leave that to the promoters or to Barry Blaustein. Barry, you know I love you, and I'm just joking around, but you are a hell of a worker, one of the greatest. Let's see, number 10, don't take diet tips from overweight wrestling promoters, especially ones that are running indie promotions, and they're not really paying your household anyways. Number 9, don't let a jabron that hasn't made a dime in this business teach you how to wrestle. Number 8, exercise. Say your prayers, take your vitamins. Number 7, don't take a check for work performed. Always take cash. Number 6, respect your elders. Respect guys that pave the way for you. I don't care how they act in the locker room. Show them as much respect as is possible. Number 5, don't get married. The business is a fickle mistress, and your wife will never accept her. Number 4, if you do get married, start preparing for your divorce immediately. Number 3, don't take a shit in the locker room. It is a fact. If someone can smell your shit, that means microscopic particles of your feces are floating through the air. They are landing on everything, including my wrestling bag. When I worked in Oregon, this young guy maybe had one or two matches under his belt. We were in a very small locker room, and this nimwit walked in there, closed that stall, and he took a dump. I mean, as Derek Nykerk put it, a deuce deuce. Right there in the locker room, blew it the fuck up. We left the locker room. We even got, like, cologne and went back in there and sprayed it. And, you know, that's like putting perfume on a warthog. It just does no damn good. It smelled like masculine shit. I don't know. It was horrible. Anyways, that's a big, big piece of advice. Follow number three to the T. Do not take a shit in the locker room. Number two, treat everyone you meet in this business, including fans, like gold. You may run into them later, and you may need them later. Plus, it's just the fucking right thing to do. Number one, thank everyone who jobs to you. Number zero, that's right, folks. Number zero, we are going backwards from here. This is like top 10 time warp. Number zero, if one of the boys offers you a non-sealed can of soda, bottle of beer, bottle of water, or any other kind of tasty beverage, do not drink it. Number negative one, keep your mouth shut and your ears open, jackass. Number negative two, watch every match. Every show you work, watch every match you possibly can. Don't big league it and leave early. You will even learn from the bad matches that you see. Number negative three, don't be a mark for yourself. Once you think you've learned it all, that's when you truly know nothing at all. Number negative four, learn how to lock up before you learn the fucking pile driver. Number negative five, learn how to sit out and switch before you learn the triple Lindy or the shooting star quadruple twisting tornado bearplex. Number negative six, if you wrestle me and you want to do some crazy ass new move on me, then in order to explain it, you need to draw a diagram or make wild twisting hand gestures, just forget it. Number negative seven, kayfabe. Number negative eight, wrestling still gets over. Use it. Number negative nine, get out of this business. And number negative ten, don't listen to any of this. It's all a work. And you've been listening to Modestly Speaking. If there's a topic you want me to touch on or a question you have, you can email me at michael.modest@gmail.com. This is the one and only natural one, Michael Modest, and I love pro wrestling more than ever.